want to greet each of you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here. It's good to worship together. I appreciated Brother Curtis's devotional thoughts this morning. However, it's a concern to me. If your attention spans only a few seconds this morning, I'm going to be in trouble. I don't know if you can hold out for another 40 minutes and not for a few seconds, but it's encouragement to a preacher to be able to see your attention. So if I see you looking at me, that means you're with me. And that gives me the courage to continue on. I just simply ask that you would do that for me this morning. The other thing that bothers me sometimes is preaching seems like foolishness. I told my wife, I said, does it really do any good to get up here and preach? And I know that's carnal because I know God can do strange things with what's said. But I feel very inadequate this morning. I'd like to look at an old man of the Bible, one that I became acquainted with a little better here a few months ago. And I began to think about this man, and I began to try to understand him, and I would like to look at him this morning. Man Noah. Noah's an interesting old man. You're all related to him. Noah. My title is Noah Walked with God. I had different titles, and it's hard to know, but till you get done studying after a bit, a title will just come to you. There's only two men in the Bible that walked with God where it says that they walked with God. Noah is one of them. That's really what got my attention. And that's kind of my burden this morning of this sermon, is to show what it takes to follow God at all costs. I'd like to look at this account. It's in Genesis. The story is basically told in Genesis chapter 6. But we're going to jump around, look at a few different scriptures, Genesis chapter 5 and 6 and 7. But I'd just like for you to think just a little bit with me. What do you think about when you think about the generation surrounding Noah? We think of them as uncivilized, right? We're so much better nowadays than they were. We think that we have all these modern conveniences and Noah didn't. That's probably true. I'm sure we have some things that Noah didn't. But these weren't Stone Age people. These were very intelligent people. Another point Brother Curtis made this morning is that our IQ is decreasing, and he said the smartest people were years ago. Well, I agree with that. I think Noah was a very intelligent being. Do you know how old Noah lived? A lot longer than I'm going to live. A lot longer than you live. These men lived to be 900-some years old. That's incredible to think about 1,000 years, almost. Methuselah lived, 900, and that was almost 1,000. He lived 969 years. He was an old man. You think about all the intelligence that you would gather, all the wisdom that you would gather in that short amount of time. Somehow in my mind, I think these were real primitive people. They had their little rock hammers, and they didn't know too much. And so when you think about Noah trying to build a boat, it's like, I don't know how they ever did it. I'd like to point out a few verses. Maybe this is more for the children than it is for the adults. But I just want to remind us, turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. Verse 20. It says, "And Adab bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ." Now, we're not talking about primitive people that can have design a harp and an organ. And we thought we were the only ones that had that. And then the following verse says, "And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah." The point was they were workers of iron. These were modern people. They knew how to make things. They had iron and metal and woodworking tools and forges. If they could make an organ, if they could make a harp, they were maybe just a little more civilized than maybe sometimes in our minds that we give them. And so we have all these old men passing on their wisdom that they've gathered. They didn't try to do it all. This one family generation, they would be the people of make instruments, and they would pass that trait on to their children, teach their boys how to make instruments. And well, you have 500 years of learning how to do something, you'd be getting really good at it. And you know, Curtis, he would teach his boys how to build sewing machines, and David would teach how to wire something, and you just pass that on. And you didn't try to do all five things, you know, all yourself. You specialized in that one trade. There's still people that do that. They specialize in a trade. That brings us to the account of Noah. Chapter 5 gives us the generations. And these people lived a long time. Adam dies about the time that Noah was born. So I don't think Adam and Noah didn't know each other. But we have Methuselah. Verse 27 of chapter 5, Methuselah was 969 years and he died. And Lamech lived 180 and 2 years and he begat a son. He called his name Noah, saying, "The same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." Lamech lived after he begat Noah 590 and 5 years and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 770 and 7 years and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Chapter 6, jump to verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And, behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make in the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou, thy sons, and thy wife, thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing on the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah. According to all that God commanded him, so did he. Very familiar story. One that you could have told me the details. I hope there was a few details maybe that caught you maybe off guard, one that maybe stood out to you, but it's a very familiar story, one that we know. I just went down through, and as I thought about Noah's life, I have a few points that I'd like to share. And one is, the first one is, was Noah was a normal man. I don't think he was any greater than we are, except he lived 900 years, and we're going to maybe live 80 if God sees fit. But he was a normal man. He had sons. He had daughters. He had sons that got married. He knew what it was like to have a marriage ceremony. He had aunts. He had uncles. He had friends. He was like you. He was like me. He enjoyed social life. He enjoyed getting out and visiting with people, telling a good story. I'm sure he enjoyed a hearty laugh. I believe Noah had a carnal nature too. I don't think Noah was this perfect individual that just did all the right things. I think he had a carnal nature. I think he was tempted to do wrong. All that evil that was around him, he was tempted. Just like you, just like I am. We're tempted. And he had choices to make every day. We all have choices to make. He was a normal person. Second thing I noticed about Noah was that he lived among the heathen. Now, you think we have it rough today, and we do. There's evil all around us, and I often wonder, how can we expect the younger generation to make it? It's so evil. Noah lived in a terrible heathen time. It says in verse 5, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's evil. There was no good thing that was happening. It was just evil. They were just dreaming up everything that was against God. Evil. Also in verse 11, it says, the earth was filled with violence. This was not a peaceful setting to grow up in. This was not a peaceful setting to have a family in, to raise your boys. They were out killing each other. They were having fist fights. They were getting angry. They were living up their carnality. Parties, drunkenness. Every sin that you can imagine, they were doing it. For God to look down on this earth and he says, it's just only evil continually. I repented, I even made man. There was no goodness there. I had to wonder, where was the faithfulness of Methuselah? Where was he? Now, maybe he was great-great-grandpa, and him and Noah would get together and encourage each other. Could very easily be. But where was their offspring? Wasn't there a whole church group of godly men? Instead, it seems like we only have just a few patriarchs that love the Lord. Noah lived among the heathen. We have him living among men that were selfish, and they wanted all the pleasures they could get. And I'm only making these points is because we live in an evil society. We live around people that are evil continually. They want all the pleasures they can get. Can you remain faithful this morning? Can you be a Noah? People that are partying for the weekends. It's all about the beer. It's all about the pleasures that I can get right now. I heard a song, I was in a store the other day, and it was a song going on about the beer. And it was some for country song, and it was something the effect that nobody wants to party with me, can't I find anybody to have a beer with? I was like, this is disgusting. Is that all people can think about? That's all these people could think about. They were in it for the party. And Noah lived there. And we have the comment that he walked with God. He walked with God, even when everybody else around him was in it for the party. So that's the third point, is Noah feared God. Noah feared God. In Hebrews 11, we have some more verses about Noah. It talks about the faith that Noah had. The faith to live victorious life when all around him there was evil going on. Hebrews 11, I'll start with verse 6. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah feared God. I like what the Genesis account says of Noah, how that he, in verse 8-9, it says, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and Noah was a just man and perfect. That's a tremendous thing to say about an individual, that they are a perfect man, that they're a man that walks with God. They're perfect, just. What does that look like to you this morning for a man that walks with God? I'd like just to stop and think a little bit. What does that mean to walk with God? Can that be said of you, that you're walking with God? To me, it means that you're making forward movement. If you walk with somebody, you're walking down the road. You're getting somewhere. You're going somewhere with someone. May it be said of each one of you here this morning that you're walking with God, that you're having forward movement. Doesn't mean running ahead. Doesn't say we're out here just jogging together, just walking together, step by step, doing what God wants us to do. To me, it speaks of communion, fellowship. It's fun to take a walk with someone because you can actually communicate as you walk. Walking with God, communicating together. How do we walk with God? It is daily reading His Word. You can't walk with God if you don't know what God wants you to do. Or you're going to be out jogging when God wants you to walk. You'll be standing still when God says walk. Reading His Word so you know what it means to walk with God. Personal prayer. Speaking to God. Praying. Pouring out your heart to God, saying, God, what do you want me to do? I'm sure Noah was a man of prayer. Somehow he walked with God. Somehow he had communication with God. Somehow God looked down at Noah and he says, you are a perfect man. You are a man that is just. You are walking with me. I'm sure Noah knew what it was to pray. Meditating. Meditating on what God has done for you. Meditating on what God has done for others. What God's doing behind the scenes now. Just spending time thinking about God. If you lived as old as what Noah would, you would have spent years thinking about God. Thinking about God's leading in your life. That's what it means to walk with God. It also means obedience to what God means. The minute Noah would have said, nope, God ain't doing it, they wouldn't have been walking together anymore. Noah would have been standing still, and God would have continued walking on. Obedience is part of walking with God. And may it be said of each one of us that he walked with God. I trust that no matter who you are this morning, that that would be what people would know you by. That when you hear your name, that he said, that man was a godly man. He walked with God. The fourth thing that I notice about this account is that God observes the world. God was observing. Somehow we tend to think that God doesn't really care what's going on down here. And sometimes I just think that I'm in my own little world making my own little decisions, and where's God in it all? But God sees the big picture. God's watching. He was looking down and he's seen all the corruption in those days. And he's seen righteous Noah. He knew exactly what is going on. Not only was he observing the world, but he observes my life. And he observes your life. God knew that there was a faithful man there, and his name was Noah. And this morning, he knows you're sitting right here in this church. And he knows your thoughts. He knows the intents of your heart. God is observing my life. God is still in that business of observing lives. What does God think when he looks down this morning and he sees you? He sees me sitting here. I trust that that he would write that he's a perfect man, he's a just man, he's a righteous man, and he's walking with me. Does that mean life was easy for Noah? And we know the answer, no. He lived in a corrupt world. And I heard a theory that because of the corruption, that it could be the righteous people who are being killed. And it could be, and it makes sense to me, because ungodly men hate righteousness. And it could be that the godly influence that was being passed on was being killed off because people were standing up for truth. It could be Noah's having a rough life. Could be. I just know that life is always never easy. I don't think like Noah had an easy life. But he could have. He could have had all the pleasures of life at his fingertips. He could have went out and lived it up. He could have went to the parties. But he didn't. Noah walked with God. He had to put up with the ridicule of being known as a righteous person. Now, I assume that the people in those days were like the people of our day. And it's not easy to be a goody-goody. Everybody says, oh, you think he's so good. What's the saying? You're so righteous that you're of no earthly good. Here's Noah trying to do what's right, trying to walk with God, and everybody else is just thinking life's a joke, life's a party. That's the Noah that we're looking at in today's lesson. But Noah walked with God. It made all the difference in this story. We have God's call to Noah. In verse 13, it says, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. I will destroy them with the ark. Verse 14 is what I wanted. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. And he goes on to tell him what to make. I don't know how you are, but I know how I am. When God gives you a job to do, it's difficult. It's a huge calling. Who, me? Do you think I'm a shipbuilder? God, you know I don't know how to build an ark. Why? You know I can't do it. Go over there and talk to Darwin. Talk to Arlen. They're shipbuilders. Leave me alone, Lord. The scripture doesn't say what Noah's thoughts were. But if he was anything human like I am, all the excuses would start to pop up in my mind. God, I don't have time. You know I have a family to raise. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Well, I haven't even taught them the trade yet. Lord, I don't have time. Just wait. Give me another 100 years. Just maybe somebody else will do it. Lord, don't you know this is the busy season of my life? I can't do it now. I'm busy. Lord, what's people going to think of me? I'm out here trying to build an ark and they know I don't know how to do it. What's people going to say? What's my church friends going to think? What's Uncle so-and-so going to say? He's going to call me crazy. Lord, I can't. That's my reasoning. I trust you can identify with that. What's your response when God just gives you a small responsibility? He doesn't ask you to build an ark, a huge boat, but he does call all of us to small things in life. And I'm sure he was giving Noah little jobs as he went along. But what's our response when we get a job for song leader? Are you crazy? I'm not a song leader. I'm not doing it. Or to have devotions. I don't have time. Get Albert. He's got lots of time. Or teaching Sunday school. I'm sorry. It just doesn't suit. I'm not good at it. Can we take the jobs that God gives and puts in our laps and we can say, yes, Lord, be a Noah and say, I'll try. I'm not good at it. I've never built an ark in my life. But Lord, I'll try. God is calling leadership to this congregation. What will you do if God calls you? Are you going to be willing to say, God, I'll try? Or is it going to be that, no way, Lord? The other thing I noticed about Noah's life is that he obeyed. God gave him a calling, and it says Noah obeyed. He did all. He did all that God commanded him to do. God said, go out there and make an ark, 450 feet long. To you men, do you know how long 450 feet is? I wanted to measure this church building, but I forgot. Might be 100 feet. 450 feet. 75 feet wide. 45 feet tall. That's probably only 30 feet to the peak. It's not even that. This was a huge boat. This is different than any of us contractors have ever built in our life. We're used to going down and digging footers and land block and land stone and something solid. This is a freestanding boat, a ship, an ark that's going to float. It needs to be self-supportive. It's a huge structure. It has three floors in it. Did you pick that up as we read it? God said put three levels in it, three floors. Not only was it supposed to have all the floors, it had to have cages for the animals. It had to have water. It had to have food. How did they get the food in there? Noah did it. He had to raise the wheat. He had to make the hay. It was a huge undertaking. God just says, Noah, this is what I want you to do. And he did it. Everything to the detail. Simple obedience to the commandment of God brings blessing. It brings peace. And it brings fellowship with God. It wasn't easy, but he obeyed. I just love that verse, verse 22. He did all that God commanded him to do. You could compare that to Jonah, a man that said, no way, Lord, and he went the other way. And God could not bless his life. It's just a contrast, a stark contrast of what difference between Noah and a Jonah. But Noah obeyed. Noah's obedience cost him something. This wasn't as easy as saying, yes, Lord, that's what I'm going to do, and going out and doing it. It cost him his time. None of us have extra time. It cost him his resources. It was money that he would never get back. It did him little good anyhow. It cost him maybe even his reputation. The scriptures doesn't say it. I can't help but think that people said, no, you're crazy. You're out of your mind. It cost him that. And he had to be willing from his obedience to do what God wants him to do. Noah just wanted to please God. Not only was he doing what God says, but in 2 Peter 2:5, it calls him a preacher of righteousness. He was out there doing what God asked him to do, and it was preaching to the world. Maybe he was even preaching vocally. But by his actions, he was proving to the world his obedience to Christ. He never wavered, spending 120 years of his life preparing for this great flood. I know he lived a lot longer than we do, so that would be, I mean, we could divide it out and try to figure it out. But 120 years is a long time to devote your life just to build an ark. That's all he got done. Obedience to God will cost you everything. To you ladies, what do you think Noah's wife felt like to have your husband out there building a crazy boat? Do you think she struggled with accepting him? Do you think she struggled with saying, God bless you, Noah? Maybe she felt like saying, Noah, you know you never finish the projects you start. I hope you finish this one. I had to wonder who Noah's wife was. We don't even have a name. It's just Noah's wife. I'm sure she could have been a huge, and I think she was. I think she was a huge blessing to Noah. I think she prayed with him. She blessed him. I think she did her part. She said, Noah, you're going to need, I don't know what she could have done. We're going to need some extra clothing for this boat, and I'm going to work at that part of the project to help you out. And Noah, God bless you for doing what God wants you to do. I think Noah's wife was an extreme big help to him. We're looking at Noah obeyed. Noah's obedience cost him something. But Noah's obedience, my next point, is that it saved him and his family. Simple obedience, just doing exactly what God wanted him to do. 120 years of obedience, of not seeing a flood, not seeing the rain, not seeing nothing. So many times I say, Lord, where are you? I've prayed, I've done all these things, good things for you. Now, Lord, show me a sign. And maybe, I'm sure God was speaking with Noah. 120 years of just waiting for this big flood, and there's not a sign of it to be found. He got that ark finished, and then he had to put all the supplies in it, the food. And so that old ark sat there and began to get weathered. Somehow in your mind, you think the wood was gleaming. I don't think it was. It was already getting gray. It probably sat there for 20 years while Noah put stuff into that ark. He had to put the fresh water in there. He had to put all the food. He had to put all the seeds. He had to put all the supplies. Everything was going to be destroyed. You think about all the woodworking tools. What was he going to build his house with after the flood destroyed everything? Where was their ironworking tools? He had to take it with him. After that ark landed, after the flood, the only thing that was left was what was in that ark, and Noah had to think, get that all figured out. Obedience. It didn't matter how much time it took. God said, do it, and Noah was ready to do it. Once the time came to enter the ark, there was no chance to rebuild it. There was no chance to look at that ark and say, but Lord, give me some more time. I messed up here. He had no chance for another design. He had no chance to go back and say, I need some more pitch on this board here. Lord, I kind of wasn't paying attention here. It's going to leak. He had no chance to make more rooms. Lord, I'm out of room. I don't have no place to go with the elements. I never paid attention. He had not any chance to pile more food in the ark. He had one chance to get it right, and God said, Noah, come into this ark. It took 120 years. You prepared. You've done a good job. It's chapter 7. We didn't read that. It said, the Lord said unto Noah, come, thou and all thy house, into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And it goes on to say, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go into the ark. There was no animals in the ark at this time. Noah didn't see any animals yet. God said, Noah, I want you to go in that ark. Now, up to this point, Noah could conveniently walk out of the ark and go home. There came a point in his time, in his life, where he had to walk up the planks to that ark and look at this world one last time. Think about his feelings of all the employees that work for him. People that he preached to. Could he not have cried out and said, Micah, Amos, Jeremiah, where are you? It's time to get in the ark. They were partying. They were playing games. Where were Shem, Ham, and Japheth's boys? Can you imagine their feelings? They were going up into the ark, and it was just them. Just them. And they turned around that last time and they looked. And then he walked in the ark and that was the last time. The only people that went into that ark were saved. There was many a people that probably helped build the ark. And they knew the inner workings of that ark. They helped maybe even design it. They cut the boards. They helped build it. But they weren't in the ark. I think there was people, they thought they were tough. They thought they were cool. They were giants. They thought they were strong. Scientifically, they could figure it out. It's not even possible for a flood. Noah's just a crazy man. Scientifically, it was figured out. It wasn't going to happen. And just in case it would, they put the little boat behind their shed. And they said, I'll ride it out. I have a boat. We don't need to be in that old smelly big boat with animals. I'll do it my way. And it was the weekend, and they were having a good time, and they were drinking their beer, and they were playing their games, and they were in marriage. That's what the Bible says. And God shut the door. and it was too late. And all of a sudden they heard the thunder. They heard the lightning. The earth began to quake. It says the fountains of the deep were tore up. I think the whole there was probably earthquakes. The water came out of places where there never was, and there was a tsunami like you've never seen. And all of a sudden they shut the music down. I said, "What's this I'm hearing?" And they looked out, and well, there's dust, and that looks like, what's that coming at me? And they take off for home. And they never made it. It was too late. Maybe some of them was close enough to see Noah's Ark. And they said, "Well, quick, get there for safety." But the door was shut. It was too late. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. This isn't a story about Noah's flood. This is a story about your life. This is a story about my life. Matthew chapter 24, we'll start at verse 36. But it says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the meal, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come." God has given us plenty of warning. God has built the ark of safety for you. Will you be ready? Today is the day of opportunity. Don't do the stupid mistake that the people of Noah's day did, of enjoying life and not paying attention to their spiritual life. Take a stand today for Christ. Stand for what is right. Whether you're youth, whether you're young married, whether you're middle-aged, whether you're an old grandpa here this morning, stand for what's right. Noah did. It's what saved him. Stand against peer pressure. You're not going to make it unless you do. Stand for what's right. Walk with God every day and be obedient to what he says. The little details. It's what saved Noah. It's going to be what saves you. Be obedient to the details. I don't want to leave Noah left in the ark, because it says that God remembered Noah. Again, I just love that. He destroyed everything. And I think Noah might have felt like he was all by himself, but God remembered Noah. God sees us here this morning. God will not forget us. No matter what we're going through in life, no matter how hard the struggle, God will not forget you. God will open a door for you and make a way out for his saints. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.